about some lessons we can draw from his life, to the point from the story that God has recorded about his life here, when he sends him to preach to Nineveh. Jonah, this is not the entirety of Jonah's life by any means, but this is a story that has great bearing on his life, and I believe it taught him a very valuable lesson. Jonah is a man that knew God. Jonah is a man that is being called by God to preach for him. As it said there in our scripture reading, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." God had a task for Jonah to fulfill. And he told him that he wanted him to warn them, basically, that destruction is coming. And Jonah has a reaction that is sad to say a lot of Christians have today. And it's something I want to try to pull from this. Jonah is put in a situation where he, as we'll find out later in the chapter, or in the book rather, he does not like these people. The people of Nineveh, the people of Syria, they were not friendly with the children of Israel. And Jonah would rather that God just wiped them out. Just get rid of Nineveh. Just destroy them. And Jonah allowed his desires, his fears, all these different things that people have, he allowed it to get in the way of his duty, of his job that God placed upon him. I think that of all the prophets that we find, I think Jonah is probably one of the most relatable prophets. Say that we felt like Jonah before. I just imagine we have many responsibilities that we have a tendency to run away from today. Even not just responsibilities to God, but just everyday responsibilities, things we decide that we don't really want to do, and we run away from them. Our work, things around our house. I know I personally have a bad habit of letting my yard grow up and not wanting to mow, and not wanting to work, not wanting to do that, because it's unpleasant. You get out there and you sweat, and you have to be in the hot sun. You have to deal with things that might hurt you, big sticks, all kind of hardship, and you might get a cut off the grass whenever you mess with it. No, I'm just lazy. We also have things that God requires us to do that we avoid. Church, we have things here that sometimes can be unpleasant. Sometimes we come to gather together, and there's things that we hear from God's Word that they prick us. They might say, "You're not doing your job." His Word might draw things out about other people that they might not appreciate, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and then we have to deal with the unpleasantness that sometimes comes with that. Maybe encouraging them to work harder, maybe encouraging them to love a little better. There's many different things that can cause strife, that we find unpleasant that we would rather run away from. So I want to see what Jonah has to offer to us, and what God has to do for Jonah to help him see that we have to put aside ourselves. We have to, as Josh's song, we have to surrender our needs, our wants, our desires, and do what God asks. Because sometimes we just don't know what we need to do, and we don't understand what God has planned for those around us. Jonah, as we mentioned in the last verse of our scripture reading, verse 3, Jonah tried to run away from God. God gave Jonah a job and he fled, he says in verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But I think we all know, it don't matter if you jump on a ship, it don't matter if you jump on a rocket ship. You ain't going to get away from God. You cannot flee from the presence of God. And as we know, a storm comes up on this journey to Tarshish. You know, God calls up a great tempest. And the ship was about to be destroyed. And Jonah understands that this is God's doing. And he says, cast me overboard. That's going to solve your problem. That'll save the lives of all these men. Jonah, I imagine, was thinking maybe if I die, I'll get out of heaven to go and preach to Nineveh. But God had other plans for Jonah. He prepared a fish to come and swallow him, as we know. A great fish swallowed him up and carried him back to dry land eventually. But the realization needs to happen that Jonah, no matter where he went, he was under God's watch. He was being watched over. He was being examined. He was being, taken into account. God was paying attention to what Jonah was doing. Turn with me to Job in verse 34. We are all in that situation. God is watching. Job chapter 34 and verse 21 says, "For his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves." You know, we can't hide from God. Whether we're doing what we're supposed to or whether we're working iniquity, either one, God knows. God is watching. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. It says, "But the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." God knows what we're doing. He is paying attention. And also a good verse there in Hebrews chapter 4, where we've been studying in our Sunday class for a while now. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "And there is no creature hidden from His sight," speaking of God, "but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." There's nothing that God is not going to see. God knows. And He is going to reward us according to what He sees and according to what we do. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 23. It says, I believe I've got the wrong passage there. Let's see. Yeah, it is verse 23. Verse 22 beginning, it says, "Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works." God is the one that is keeping up with what we do, and He's keeping a record. He is going to reward us based on what we do in the end. Jonah came to discover this. Jonah realized that he couldn't get away from God in the belly of that fish. But he still had a problem. And you can't run away from a problem and expect it to go away. So Jonah still has the problem. The people of Nineveh still didn't appeal to him to be saved. You know, that wasn't a good idea for Jonah. He didn't like it. He did not want to preach to his enemies. He did not want to save them. He did not want to extend mercy to them. He didn't like them. So, Jonah tried to run away, tried not to deal with this problem, but God wouldn't let him. But turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 here. How many times do we try to trick ourselves into thinking that if we just ignore something, or if we run away from a problem, or if we just say somebody else will handle it? How many times do we do that? God doesn't put up with that. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But of he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." You know, we can do things in our lives and problems are going to arise from those things, and you know, sometimes we might think we can sweep them under a rug. But God is watching. And He is not going to allow us to ignore our problems. In the end, it will come to bear upon us. So it's best if we deal with the problems that we have, just like Jonah had to in the end. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. We're all going to have to stand before God and give an account. Not only does He know the things that we do, we're going to have to tell about why we did what we did. We're going to have to give a defense for our lives. Romans chapter 12 and Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, verse 11 beginning, says, "For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." We've got to, even if it's something that we see that we know that we should do, we need to go ahead and have that taken care of, even if it's something that we don't want to do, as in Jonah's case. Or if it's something that we have done, you know, that we shouldn't have done, we're still going to have to tell God about it. Just like Jonah had to give up and do God's will, because that's the only way we're going to make progress in our lives. You know, Jonah wound up having to go and preach to Nineveh. And he found himself, after he ran away, at the mercy of God. You know, just like the city that he was fixing to have to go preach to. Jonah, by refusing to do God's will, he found himself in the belly of the fish. And he realized that it is a mistake to try to negate or to reject the mercy of God. You know, we must accept that mercy. You know, God is allowing Jonah a chance to deal with some of his issues, and also He is extending mercy to the city of Nineveh. You know, turn with me to Jonah the second chapter in verse 8. Jonah the second chapter in verse 8, it says, beginning in verse 7, it says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." You know, Jonah realized that you can forsake the mercy of God. There are those that forsake God's mercy. But he realized that he had to do what God asked of him, and that he needed to accept that mercy. Otherwise, as he says, his soul fainted within him, he would be in despair. You know, how often do we reject God's word? How often do we reject God's mercy? And you know, it's many, many times that God will give us a chance, just like He gave Jonah a second chance. To accept that mercy, to accept the job, the calling that He extends to us. You know, Paul speaks about those that would rather love and believe lies than to accept God's and His God's truth and His will in the Second Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. It says, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All right. And it goes on to thank God because these Thessalonians were not as these people. These people who love deception, who love the lie rather than the truth. God is merciful. We cannot afford to reject that mercy, and we cannot afford to reject that truth. For in doing so, we reject our own future and our own freedom. John the 8th chapter. Turn with me to John chapter 8 and verse 32. It says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, this is Jesus describing what God's Word, what His truth will do for us. It will make us free. It will help us have that everlasting life, and we will live through all eternity if we will just accept it. And also another point to make there, personal issues, prejudices, you know, whatever it might be, must not interfere when you're preaching God's Word. You cannot let them get in the way. God will not accept that. Jonah was prejudiced, as we've stated before, against the people of Nineveh. You know, he did not want to preach to them. He did not like them. He thought they weren't worthy of God's mercy. You know, God does not accept people that show favoritism or people that judge and value one person more than another. He values all. In Acts chapter 10 and in verse 34, Acts chapter 10, verse 34 beginning, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him.'" You know, God calls everybody and anybody that will seek Him out and accept His will and work righteousness, as is stated here in Acts chapter 10. God calls His people, those that would work righteous, to be those without prejudice, to be those that love our neighbors as ourselves. In James chapter 2, and beginning in verse 8, it says, "If you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin, and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." So we must, as it says there in verse 13, it says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. We must learn to show mercy to all, not just those we like. That's what Jonah had to learn. Finally, when God's Word is preached, it don't matter how awful the person is living. If he has an honest heart, then he will repent. As we know from the story of Jonah, when Jonah finally got to Nineveh and he actually did his job and he preached, we know that those people repented. If I can get back there. In Jonah chapter 3, it says there in verse 7, it says, "And he caused it to be preached, or to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh," this is the king here, "by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, 'Let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from His fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that He said He would bring upon them, and He did not do it." You know, these people were bad people. These people were sinning. They were working evil works, so much so that God had to send somebody and tell them to straighten up or you were going to be destroyed. But there were those of the city of Nineveh, even one that God had condemned to destruction, that accepted God's word. They had honest hearts. They understood that God was serious. Paul encountered such a one, a Roman governor, Felix. He was a man that was corrupt, a man that played favorites, a man that did many bad things. But even he realized, and he had a somewhat of an honest heart, in Acts chapter 24, when he was warned, it says there in verse 22, it says, "But when Felix heard these things, having a more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when this Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case." You know, he understood what Paul was teaching him. And then if you'll go down with me to verse 25, it says, "Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" You know, his heart was open. He knew what Paul was stating. And he knew that there was judgment to come. Unfortunately, he allowed himself to sweep it under the rug. He said, "Well, when it's more convenient, we'll talk about this some more." Could have been to save face. It could have been for many different reasons. However, he refused to believe completely. He refused to have faith and take action in that message. You know, we have that kind of reaction today, but we also have that honest heart that accepts as Nineveh did and repents. So we must not choose in our own minds to withhold from anyone just in case, because we don't know the hearts of man. Turn with me to Luke, the 8th chapter. It's our job to spread the seed. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. "But the ones that fell on good ground with those, the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Now, it didn't say, you know, the sower went out and he picked the ground. No, it said a sower went out to sow, and he sowed all over the place. Good ground, bad ground, on the roadside even. He sowed the seed, hoping that it would grow, that it would sprout and bear fruit. And we ought to be happy instead of angry, as Jonah was, when people turn to God. Turn with me back to Jonah again. Jonah was not happy when Nineveh repented. As we stated earlier, he didn't like them, and he still hadn't got rid of that prejudice. First part of chapter 4 of Jonah says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. And he said, he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.'" You know, this is a pretty sad state. And yet I've known Christians, and I have to admit, I maybe not have went to that extreme, but there have been people that I have been upset with that they didn't get what I thought was coming to them. And that's something we must avoid. You know, God was prepared to give mercy, to extend mercy to Nineveh, but Jonah wasn't. We should be very glad that God is not like us, not like Jonah. You know, God taught Jonah a lesson. We look down there in verse 5 there. It says, "So Jonah went out..." Well, let's pick up in verse 4. It says, "Then the Lord said, 'Is it right for you to be so angry?'" You know, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. And there he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant, and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade for his head, to deliver him from the misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as the morning dawned on the next day, God prepared a worm and so damaged the plant, and it so damaged the plant, so that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which it came up in one night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" You know, it hurt Jonah's feelings when this plant died. You know, Jonah was able to relate and have mercy on this plant, or have a regret that it died anyway. And God extends His thinking to Jonah here. He says, "You were sad, you were upset, you were angry to the point of death when this plant died. Why should I not be upset and angry when the entire city is going to perish, and that he should, you know, God should not try to save them?" You know, Jonah and God did not see eye to eye, to say the least, and I'm pretty sure that we get in the same situation, to where when we don't get what we want, we pitch a fit, and God has to remind us there's more at stake than just us. There's an entire city of people here that Jonah was disregarding, treating as worthless. And yet, he valued a plant. And God said, isn't that city of much more value than a plant? You know, that's kind of the idea, I think, that's being projected here, presented to Jonah. The souls of men belong to God, who created them. And God wants those souls to be saved. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God wants His people that He has created to believe on Him, to accept His love and His mercy, and to repent from our evil ways. And God wants us to rejoice with Him when we have the opportunity to save someone that has been erring from God. He wants us to rejoice along with Him when that person comes back. John chapter 4 and verse 36 says, "And he who receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I have sent you to reap for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors." You know, we are to rejoice with God when His reaping and the seed that He has sown, when it bears fruit. And also, another point we can draw from Jonah is the anger of man does not work God's righteousness. You know, Jonah was a very angry man. Jonah was not happy about what had just transpired. But that was not what God wanted to happen. That was not the work, the righteousness that God intended for Jonah to have. Turn with me to James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter, and verse 19. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, Jonah allowed his self, his desires, his own prediction, his own outcome to get in the way of what God wanted to be done. And it almost succeeded. Had God not brought Jonah back and not turned him around, then the city of Nineveh would have been destroyed because Jonah would have refused to preach because of his anger and because he knew that if he did preach, then if any of them would repent, that God would forgive. Also, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We should extend mercy to those around us, to our brothers and sisters, and we should not be so angry with them ever that we would not be willing to see their souls saved. And another thing that we can remember, that we can apply to our lives, is that God provides for His people. God provided for Nineveh. You know, He sent Jonah to warn them to repent. God provided for Jonah, and He sent a plant to teach him a lesson. He sent also a worm to fulfill that lesson. He sent an east wind to drive Jonah to his conclusion. All these things were prepared to teach Nineveh, to teach Jonah, to teach us all a lesson. God today has a much simpler method. He may have had to go through a good deal to teach Jonah and Nineveh, but today we have the Word of God. We have a Bible in front of us. And that is what God will use to teach us. And He does teach us every day. He teaches us through His providence. And I know sometimes it seems like I'll just open my Bible and there'll be just the right passage sitting there in front of me for me to read. And I think God teaches us that way sometimes. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortations which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which you have all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. We've got to accept those things. Like Jonah, he didn't have as much choice in the matter, but when God was teaching him, he had to accept it. He needed to accept it, or otherwise, you know, he would not be the child of God. You know, we also receive good things from God through His providence in the same way. God is looking out for us, just like He was trying to help Jonah, like He was trying to help Nineveh. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You know, God works for us, not only to teach us, but also to help us along in our life and send us good things when we need it. We must also be willing to accept God's gifts and His chastening. In this sermon, you know, that we're talking about Jonah, and we're talking about his experiences, let's remember those things that he had to learn and apply them to our lives. You can't run from God. You can't get away from His duty and His call. You can't get away from His judgment. You can't run from your own problems. Jonah tried. It didn't work for him. His problem was still there, and he still had to deal with it. God's mercy, it can be rejected. You know, God, He extends His hand to a lot of people, and a lot of people turn Him down. But we must remember to be as Nineveh, even if we are falling away and failed for a long time. We can come back. We can accept when God extends that helping hand. And we must not allow our personal prejudices to cloud our judgment and to make us withhold God's mercy and His teaching. We cannot do that. We cannot be like Jonah and refuse to preach. We must preach to all. And we must be happy. We must remember not to allow our anger to cloud the outcome that should be a good outcome. We must not turn it into something that is another problem and let our anger get in the way. We must rejoice when God rejoices. And we must remember that God is instructing us all. No matter if we think we're the righteous one like Jonah did, or if we are the one that desperately needs God's love, God is helping and instructing us all. And I think that there's a lot of other things we could draw from Jonah. There's many other things that we could have pointed out. But I think those are a few things that will help us. I appreciate your patience. I know I'm not the best speaker, but hopefully there were some ideas in there that can help. And I know there's some things that I had to learn and to apply to my life in here. But if there's anyone here who would like to take advantage of God's mercy, His invitation always stands open and ready, waiting for any who would accept. If you would come to Him today, believe on His Word, confess, to repent, and to take action towards that, to be baptized. Or if there's one here this morning who would like to repent, who would like to straighten their life back out, maybe realize that they were behaving a little foolishly like Jonah. If either is the case, we stand ready to assist you as we led in the closing song.